It's primary day in a number of states today, including the most populous state, California. And there's a lot at stake there with a race for governor, Senate, and some key House seats. Joining us now for a preview is Marisa Lagos, political reporter at KQED in San Francisco. Hi, Marisa.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
Well, thanks for being here. And I guess we should start with the governor's race. The primary system in California is nonpartisan, which means that the top two vote getters in the primary, regardless of party, are going to head into a runoff in the general election in November. And it sounds like those top two vote getters might well be the Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, the former mayor of San Francisco.
Look, California is a movement. California, I believe, are a cause. And the world is looking to us not only to live together and advance together and prosper together across every conceivable difference, but also looking to California to lead, not just nationally, but internationally. And that's what I intend to do as your next governor.
And former L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
I intend to make it absolutely clear that California is going to mark a different path. We're going to embrace the diversity of this state. We're going to welcome our newcomers. We're going to say that our health care is a right, not a privilege, that our environmental laws ought to lead the nation and the world.
Is that a sure thing? Is there anybody else who might beat them?
So that felt like a sure thing maybe 6 months ago, just because in California, Republicans have less than a quarter of the registered voters. They've actually fallen behind no party preference or independent voters. But in the last month or so, we've had businessman John Cox, an Illinois native who moved to San Diego a couple years ago.
I'm a businessman. I'm not a politician. We can certainly demonize other people, but what we've got to do is we've got to sit down and we've got to focus on solving problems. That's what a businessman does. That's what I've done for 40 years.
Cox really kind of surging in the polls. He actually benefited from an endorsement from President Trump a couple of weeks back. And so given that, you know, it is a primary and there's a lot of people on the ticket, it's likely that the Democrats will split their vote among Newsom and Villaraigosa and the other bigger name Democrats, and that Cox might slip into the runoff.
So there might actually be a Republican facing a Democrat in the fall.
Yes, very old school of us. And it's interesting because, as you mentioned, this top two system has been in effect for a couple of election cycles. But this is the first time we've really seen it played out in the governor's race.
Well, whoever wins is going to be taking over, if they win in November, will be taking over for the current governor, Jerry Brown, who is retiring. He's the state's longest serving governor. He was elected twice in the 1970s and then again in 2010 and 2014. He's been somewhat of a thorn in President Trump's side and an agenda setter for Democrats across the country, especially on the issue of climate change. How do the front runners compare to Brown?
You know, Gavin Newsom, who is sort of the favorite in this race, is definitely positioned himself to the left of Jerry Brown. You know, he's very famous for in 2004 as mayor of San Francisco opening up City Hall to gay marriage,
right,
and kind of starting that train. And he's talked about his support for single payer, universal preschool. Antonio Villaraigosa has positioned himself more centrist. I think he's really tried to seize on what he sees as an opening there. But the bottom line is, you know, Jerry Brown came into office in the midst of the recession. We had a $27 billion budget deficit in California. He's really credited for, you know, in some ways saving the state. I mean, at that point, there had been IOUs issued because the state couldn't pay its bills under Arnold Schwarzenegger at one point. So I think whoever takes over next is going to have to sort of live in the shadow of Jerry Brown and the things he's done, especially given that if it is indeed Cox and Newsom in the November election, it's pretty much guaranteed that Newsom will win just because of the numbers in terms of Democrats and independents who lean Democratic, but is going to get challenged a lot more than Jerry Brown did by his own party, because there's a lot of Democrats in the legislature that have wanted to spend a lot more money than Jerry Brown's been willing to in recent years. And so I think it'll be interesting to see kind of the dynamics. There's not a lot of people like Jerry Brown in politics.
Now, Jerry Brown is from Oakland. Gavin Newsom, as we said, the former mayor of San Francisco. Villaraigosa, former mayor of L.A. Is there a Northern California, Southern California dynamic, or who has the power in the politics in the state?
Yeah. So the interesting thing about California is that Los Angeles is like basically 60% of everything if you look at population. Mm-hmm. But they don't really exercise that power at the ballot box. And that's because we have such a higher turnout rate in the Bay Area, in Northern California, than often we see in Southern California. And I think that's something that's hurting someone like Villaraigosa, who, you know, in a state like this, you cannot do the retail politics that are so famous at, say, the beginning of the presidential campaigns in places like Iowa. You have to be on TV. You have to raise money. And so I think that Newsom has had an advantage there, both because he's an elected statewide official currently, while Villaraigosa has been out of the mayor's office for several years, but also because you have this couching of the political system and the power structure with a lot of the money and the turnout being in the Bay Area. And so I think we're seeing some of those old Dodgers versus Giants rivalries play out in this race.
Another politician who is facing election this year, also, by the way, from Northern California these days, is Senator Dianne Feinstein, who is seeking a sixth term. She is a very powerful Democrat in Washington, but she is 84 years old, and there have been a lot of Democrats pushing for new leadership. What kind of competition does she have?
So she's being challenged by Kevin DeLeon, who is a state senator. He was the president of the state Senate until recently, and he has been running very much to her left and I think has pushed her on issues, including her new support for marijuana, her opposition to the death penalty. You know, it remains to be seen if he'll make it into the November election. Because DeLeon's really struggled with fundraising. And again, that same issue of sort of getting your name out there in a state this big and this expensive. But it does feel like Feinstein's been feeling at least a little bit of the heat, although the polls are, you know, looking a lot better for her than for him.
Another incumbent fighting to keep his longtime seat is Republican Representative Dana Rohrabacher of Orange County. He's an ally of President Trump. How much of a shot do Democrats have at picking up his seat?
Well, I might phrase it differently, which is how much of a shot does he have at keeping his seat? Mm-hmm. It may be Democrats, but this is one of those districts, like a couple in that kind of region of Orange County, San Diego, southern Los Angeles, where we're seeing this whole open primary, this top two, really become an interesting problem for both parties. So in that seat, Rohrabacher is actually being challenged by a man named Scott Baugh, who actually worked for him at one point. The concerned Democrats have a couple of pretty strong candidates, but there's so many people on the ballot there, they're worried that Rohrabacher and Baugh could actually shut them out of this runoff. And so, you know, Rohrabacher is an interesting guy. He's pretty libertarian on issues like marijuana, but he's also tied himself to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and had some, you know, interesting questions around Russia ties and his backing of Trump on some of those things. So he is vulnerable, but the question is, can Democrats sort of overcome the party registration advantage that Republicans have there and keep that, or, you know, and flip that seat blue? I'm not sure they're going to be able to do it.
And what about Daryl Issa's seat?
So, yeah, Issa is one of two incumbents down there who decided to skip running for re-election after a very tough battle. He only won by about 1,600 votes in 2016. That's, I think, a really interesting district because it shows how Orange County, which has always been the stronghold for Republicans, mm-hmm. is really changing with the immigration influx of both Asian American and Latinos. Second generation are tending to be a little bit more liberal, and it's becoming younger. And so, again, that's a seat where I think Democrats have a pretty good chance if they can, you know, make it into the runoff, if they can actually get somebody there and not split the vote among so many Democrats mm-hmm. that Republicans squeak through.
And by the way, the other retiring Republican you're talking about down in Orange County is Ed Royce, who decided not to seek election this year. So what's the turnout like in a primary election in California?
Not great. You know, primaries in general in the state have favored more conservative. It tends to be a wider, more conservative turnout. We usually see more sort of progressive and diverse energy in November. I think that's one thing everyone's kind of watching when we talk about this potential blue wave. There's been a lot of debate here, for example, over whether Latinos will turn out. They have historically had pretty dismal under 20% turnout. I think some people were hoping that would change, but I think we'll probably see, you know, under 40% of the electorate come out.
So you say that one other race that we should talk about today is the race for the next state superintendent to oversee California's public schools.
That's right. And this has come down to a battle we've seen actually play out in the governor's race among two Democrats as well, which is a question over kind of school reform and charter schools. Marshall Tuck, who has run unsuccessfully for this office before, is being backed by charter schools. He's a big reform advocate. Tony Thurman, a state assemblyman from the Bay Area, is running with the support of the California Teachers Association and other very powerful unions. And it's become sort of this proxy battle in this bigger debate that we see playing out really nationally over education and what's the best thing for students. It's just fascinating. There's so much money being spent in this race for a position that honestly isn't all that powerful. In California, most of the actual decisions over, say, whether to allow a charter school to open happen at the local school district level. So one of those ones that I think might have some voters scratching their heads as to why they're hearing so much about it. But when there's money around, you know, there's going to be fights.
That's Marisa Lagos, who is a political reporter at KQED in San Francisco, talking to us as California voters go to the polls today on primary day. Marisa, thank you.
My pleasure, Jeremy.